Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Iranian-American historian Mazia Behrouz, who was born in Tehran and has taught at UC Berkeley and Stanford University and is currently a professor of history at San Francisco State University. He's the author of two books on the history of the Iranian left, Rebels with a Cause, followed by Perspectives on the History of Rebels with a Cause in Iran, a collection of interviews and articles on leftist movements in Iran that was translated into Persian and published in Iran. Welcome to Background Briefing. Dr. Mazia Behrouz.
Thank you for having me.
And the CIA formally acknowledged its key role in the 1953 coup, which ousted Iran's democratically elected Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh 60 years ago in 1953. Obviously, no big secret, but my understanding is that there are still some people in the Iranian diaspora, those that support the Shah, the royalists, many of them here in Los Angeles, who don't believe the coup happened. Is that true?
Well, first of all, let me tell you that for the first 25 years after the coup d'etat, 1953 to 1979, that was the official line in Iran, that there was no coup d'etat. This was a people's revolt against a despotic prime minister in defense of the popular king. And only after 79, when the monarchy was overthrown, did we get the chance to hear the truth about it. So the royalists in Iran have never reconciled themselves with this historical fact. Actually, their concern has to do much less with facts and history than their political and ideological agenda. And no matter how much documentation you show them, if you bring the whole CIA vault and spread it in front of them, since their concern is not really historical facts and analysis, but their own political view of what they would like to believe what had happened, then you cannot convince somebody that doesn't want to be convinced.
But going back to Mossadegh, who was elected in, 1951, he did weaken, according to the coup policy, he'd weakened the Shah and the Iranian army. What had he done? Because, first of all, the idea of the peacock throne and the Shah, my understanding is that for as much as they talked about thousands of years of Iranian history and that they were this royal family, didn't the British find the Shah's father in a stable somewhere working? I can't remember what his role was, but he was hardly of royal.
The Shah's father came from humble origins. He was a military man, and he was an officer in a military unit in Iran. And he was half literate. He did participate in a British sponsored coup d'etat in 1921, representing the military wing of the coup d'etat as against the political wing, which was a journalist. Then he became the strongman of Iran between 1921 and 1925. He became prime minister in 1923. The strongman then turned against the ruling dynasty, the Qajar dynasty, and basically staged a second coup d'etat and put himself, the Pahlavi dynasty, as the new monarchy in Iran. So I guess that's the answer to your first question. The second question regarding Mossadegh is that he became prime minister in 1951, and he was toppled in on August 19, 1953, 60 years to the date. Mossadegh, Iran had a constitution, and the constitution called for monarchy to reign but not to rule. And Mossadegh was a constitutionalist. He had a PhD in law from Switzerland. He was a lawyer. He was a JD. And he was a scholar of law as well as a politician. His concern was that the king should not reign. In that context, should not rule, should only reign, should be a ceremonial person. So in that context, next to the issue of oil nationalization, which he led the movement. His concern was to limit the power of the Shah, who on the other, from the opposite, was pushing from the opposite direction. The Shah, the second Pahlavi king, had never reconciled himself. He was like his father, to rule by law and stay within the limits of constitution of Iran. That is to say, he wanted to rule and not just to reign. And that there lies in the middle of this the core problem and friction between Mossadegh, who wanted to strip away the Shah's powers, including his command of the military, and turn him into a ceremonial figure like the kings and queens and monarchies of Europe that we are familiar with today.
Right, but he wasn't even legitimate in the lineage that those monarchies have. He was literally a guy from the cavalry that the Brits had just put in there, you know, and anointed him as a member of this new royal family, the Pahlavi.
I wouldn't say it was exactly as what you said. The British did trigger him coming to power, but he himself, although he was half literate, was a very, very shrewd man, a very clever person, and he rose to power. And he became indeed, if he was a dictator and a despot who had little concern for Iran's constitutional law. On the other hand, he was one of the most important reformers of 20th century Iran in terms of bringing modernizing change to Iran.
But didn't the Brits finally get rid of him because he was quite friendly to Hitler during the war? I understand that there's
we're still talking about Shah's father, the last
yeah,
Shah's father,
yeah, exactly.
Reza Shah Pahlavi.
Yeah.
Yes. Iran was invaded in August of 1941. And the reason Iran was invaded was that the Reza Shah, the Shah's father, had declared Iran's neutrality. And yet he was faced with the demand of breaking that neutrality and aiding the Allies, in this case the British, because the Americans had not entered the war yet, helping the British help the Soviets, which were in dire situation after the invasion of Soviet Union by Hitler. Here he refused to do it. Now, was there a degree of closeness between him and Hitler and fascist Italy? There was, but this is, again, remember, I don't think he was a Nazi.
Right.
I think he was looking for a way of finding a reliable source of modernizing Iran, and he did not want the Russians and the British, who were the old colonial powers tormenting Iran for the past 100 years.
Right, but that does explain why paintings of Adolf Hitler are in the Iranian National Museum, I understand. But
Iran had a good relationship during his reign after 1925 with fascist Italy, and then after 1933 with Hitler.
Right. But let's turn again to Iranian-American historian Mazia Behrouz, who was born in Tehran and is professor of history at San Francisco State University and the author of two books on the history of the Iranian left, Rebels with a Cause, followed by Perspectives on the History of Rebels with a Cause, which is a collection of interviews and articles on leftist movements in Iran that was translated into Persian and published in Iran. We got a little sidetracked there, but I think it's a still important history to understand the real nature of this dynasty that Americans love kings and queens. I don't know whether you've noticed this fascination with the royal baby in England at the moment, but most of it is pretty fatuous and false in the case of the Pahlavis. But my understanding is that things got really tense with the British over Mossadegh threatening to renationalize the oil, because the British Anglo-Iranian Oil Company, which was now BP, British Petroleum, they were the first, weren't they? They were actually bringing gunboats in. They were really and the Americans stepped in to calm things down, didn't they?
Yes, during the first year of his premiership, 1951-1952, the British, who believed that the oil was theirs, Iranian oil was theirs, tried to get it back. They blockaded Iran. They put gunships outside Iran's territorial water. They blockaded Iran. They tried to assassinate and topple Mossadegh. Here, Americans intervened, the Truman administration, and prevented them. They took Iran to the International Court of Justice at The Hague. They lost. They took Iran to the Security Council of the United Nations. They lost. So during the first year, the American administration, Truman administration, did try to, quote-unquote, play the role of, quote-unquote, impartial go-between and judge between the two contentious power governments. But the Americans leaned, even here, they did lean toward the British, who were their allies, their ally. In this context, the Americans did try to prevent the Brits from attacking Iran, and they did try to facilitate negotiations between the two sides, which didn't work, actually, as we know. The oil nationalization movement in Iran and Mossadegh's role is a classical anti-colonialist movement. It is about a weaker nation led by a aristocrat, PhD in law / politician, French-speaking, trying to lead the nation into nationalizing its national wealth, which was being looted by a colonial power, and reclaiming not only its wealth, but its national sovereignty. This is a classical context of this movement, which was unsuccessful eventually.
So, Mazie Barouz, then, of course, the Truman administration lost power. Eisenhower became president, a different administration. And my understanding is, since I know personally some of the CIA participants in this coup, they basically took over the operation. It was an MI6 CIA operation, but it largely became a CIA operation. They employed all kinds of people to destabilize the Mossadegh government, including, I believe, Ayatollah Khamenei, didn't they? They got the clerics out on the streets.
First of all, the Brits the British embassy was closed in Iran in October of 1952. So they lost basically their network in Tehran and in Iran was damaged. Even before the Eisenhower administration came to power, but after they won the election that year, the British approached the Americans and started to woo them, to court them toward accepting a plan that they had presented to the Truman administration and was rejected. It was then, remember, this is America with during McCarthyism. This is America during anti-communist paranoia. This is America during Cold War. This is an America which is really black and white rather than seeing things in shades and colors. So with the Dulles brothers in, the British showing that they could not come to any reasonable agreement with Mossadegh, the threat of communism in Iran was, exaggerated, and Americans were convinced, really, to join this project, because if they hadn't done it, this could not have been executed, since the British had lost their network in Iran. So the Americans agreed to basically take up the cause and implement the coup d'etat. Now, in terms of what you said about Khomeini and the majority of the clerics in Iran were followers of a grand ayatollah of the time who was not very politically active and advised his followers not to get involved in politics directly and in for or against any particular person. Of course, all of these clerics were anti-communist, and they were worried about the threat of communism, the Tudor Party of Iran, the Communist Party of Iran. But as far as I can say, and I think history shows it, Khomeini was not actually involved in the events that led to the toppling of Dr. Mossadegh.
But a lot of clerics were, right?
A minority of clerics.
So, not a minority.
Ayatollah Kashani, who disobeyed this grand Ayatollah that I just mentioned to you. Right. And there was another one. I mean, a minority of clerics were involved. The majority of them basically obeyed the request of this prestigious grand Ayatollah.
But the CIA obviously got the military on side. They had the Shah in their pocket. And then they just got the mobs into the street. I mean, they got enough
and
people.
They did a lot of disinformation. For example, they would call clerics' homes and other people of conservative background and pose as communists and threaten them. They would do these black demonstrations, you know, posing as members of the Communist Party of Iran, trying to scare more conservative layers of society into coming to the conclusion that if Mossadegh stays, what we're going to have is chaos, and a coup d'etat is preferred to chaos. So they did a lot of that. This was a very well-planned, basically, and well-executed operation, the Ajax I'm talking about.
Sure. Well, just in the last couple of minutes then, my understanding is, though, at the end of the day, the U.S. ended up very much the country that dominated Iran. The Shah basically did everything the U.S. wanted. They bought endless amounts of military equipment, etc. And the Brits eventually lost the oil, didn't they? I mean, was this an American coup that superseded British efforts, but didn't they end up with the lion's share of the oil as well?
Well, yes. The British never got back what they lost when Mossadegh expropriated.
So in other words, this was a coup against Iran and Britain, arguably.
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, but that was the reality of post-Second World War. I mean, the British and the French empires were unraveling, and that's just the reality. I mean, they had
to take it. But the only thing that the Brits had were the oil. I mean, that was an important asset, and they lost it. And the Americans ended up as the colonial power, in effect.
Yes, they did.
Right. Okay.
That's an irony of history.
Right. Well, what's your thoughts just in the last minute on this 60th anniversary?
What is my what?
Thoughts. What are you thinking?
Well, I mean, I think it is two things are new and interesting, particularly the documents that were published today. One of them is, I think it's interesting that the CIA eventually is saying, okay, we did it. Although everybody knew that they did it, I think it's interesting that they say they did it.
Right.
And I think more detail was provided, which is really, it's not a game changer, but and for the monarchists and royalists in Iran who do not want to face reality, it's not going to change anything. But it shows very clearly how, on a detailed level, the American network and the British network in Iran were involved in directing mostly Iranian actors, military thugs paid by the CIA, and even some civilians who joined in on their own, directing them toward basically accomplishing this task. So
right.
The documents are adding more information, more detail, but it's not a game changer.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
You're welcome.
Dr. Mazia Bahrouz, again, an Iranian-American historian who was born in Tehran, has taught at UC Berkeley and Stanford University, and is currently a professor of history at San Francisco State University. He's the author of two books on the history of the Iranian left, Rebels with a Cause, followed by Perspectives on the History of Rebels with a Cause in Iran, a collection of interviews and articles on leftist movements in Iran that was translated into Persian and published in Iran. We're going to take a brief station break and back talking about the recall launched against the mayor of San Diego, Bob Filner, otherwise known as Filthy Filner.